Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Where would we be without the Lord? Without hope, right? That's true. Thank you, Lord. Well, we've been enjoying times of prayer every night, 5 at 5, starting tomorrow night again at 5 p.m. We're gathering every night at 5 p.m., Monday through Friday. It's there in your bulletin. I'd like to encourage you to come out, be a part of it. We're just storming heaven on behalf of our nation, Israel, the whole situation. And for the church, for revival, to return to God. Hallelujah. God, we ask you to heal our land. Turn this nation back to you, Lord. Forgive our sin and heal our land. Judgment begins at the house of the Lord. Begins with us. And I know the Lord is calling his people back to reconcile to him. So Lord, as we come to you, we would ask that our hearts would be changed, Lord, and our minds would be renewed, and that our souls would be restored. And Lord, we ask that you would strengthen each one of us with might in the inner man by your Spirit. Lord, your word tells us we are to be strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. Lord, we know we don't have it in us. It's not of us, it's of you. So we ask you, Lord, to empower your people, to baptize our hearts, Lord, with your Holy Spirit and fire. For you are the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, our eyes are upon you. For we know where our help comes from. Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, the Most High God. So reign in us, Lord, in your power. Father, I ask today that you would grant me the utterance to speak, that we can hear from you today, Lord. Open the ears of our hearts, the understanding, Lord, the eyes of our understanding, that we can receive, Lord, what you have for us today. And Satan, we reject you in Jesus' name. We bind you in Jesus' name. The Lord rebuke you. Lord, anoint every ear to hear and eyes to see. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You know, we've been having a great time. And you know, it's interesting that during these prayer meetings, I'm getting my sermon seed. So it's interesting how God kind of drops things in and people will pray certain things. And it's like, yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay. So some of you are going to hear some of the things that you've been praying this week in today's sermon. So, you know, we have a steadfast hope. You know, the Lord told us not to be troubled, right? He said, don't let your hearts be troubled. And so we're not to be troubled like the world is troubled right now. As a matter of fact, God wants us to trouble our trouble. Amen. And we need to be the most optimistic people, and we should be, on the planet, because we're the people that have hope, amen, in the Lord. And he is our steadfast hope. And the title of today's message is Our Steadfast Hope. Before the Lord departed, he told his disciples in John 15:16, you did not choose me. Well, I choose Jesus. No, he said, you didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. And these things I command you, that you love one another. Remember he said, a new commandment I give you? Well, what's the new commandment? That we love one another. For all the commandments are summed up in that. All right? And then he said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. In other words, a child of God is not compatible with the spirit of Antichrist, amen, and the spirit of this world. And so there is a separation, all right? There is a very clear line of demarcation. And we are to be a separate people in the sense that we are to commit ourselves fully to the Lord, amen, and live unto Him. We're under new ownership, under new management. We're no longer serving sin, but we're serving the Savior, amen, because Jesus has broken the power of sin in our lives. If you're a child of God, the power of sin is broken in your life, and you just need to simply enforce it by faith in what God has already accomplished. Faith in the truth, faith in the Word of God. So light and darkness doesn't mix, does it? Good and evil doesn't mix. Sin and righteousness doesn't mix. Love and hatred doesn't mix. Truth and lies don't mix. But what the enemy would like to do is mix it together. And that's where you have confusion, don't you? Because it's not possible for light and darkness to mix. You know that. All you need to do is walk into a dark room, hit the switch, and darkness is gone. And you and I are called to be lights in this world, and we are to light up the night, to light up the darkness. If Christ is in you, you have the light in you, but Jesus wants that light to shine forth from us. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, amen, and glorify your Father in heaven. How many know our lives should be obvious, amen, that we belong to Jesus? It should be obvious to people that we belong to Him. And so Jesus said something interesting because we know the Christmas story. We just, you know, had Christmas a little while ago. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. And that is true, men that are really in right standing. That's where those who have true peace, amen. But Jesus said that He didn't come to bring peace but a sword. In Matthew 10:34, He said, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace but a sword." Now we know the sword of God is His word. All right? And so it causes division. Truth is not compatible with lies. All right? And so when we speak the truth in love, amen, it causes division. How many heard this one before? Hebrews 4:12. "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So let's break this down and look at it. First of all, it says the word of God is living, constant, and actively alive. It is powerful, energema, energizing. It cuts sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God is like a surgical instrument, like a scalpel. And it divides between the soul and spirit, the two invisible non-material parts of man. We need to know what is spiritual and what is soulish. Some people confuse soul power for spiritual power, all right? Or a soulish life for a spiritual life. And, you know, God gave us emotions, amen? But we're not to be led by emotions, we're to be led by the Spirit. And I find that when I'm led by the Spirit, good emotions follow. But if I try to follow my emotions, I'll end up in a mess, amen? So the Word of God helps us to determine what is soulish, what is of the world, what is sensual, what is devilish, and what is of God. All right? It pierces, it says. It goes deep, right, into the joints and marrow. The joints influence outward movements. All right? So the Word of God influences what you do outwardly. All right? But it also works in the hidden but vital inner life as well, the marrow. The Word of God goes deep. So God changes us internally so that we'll have an external expression of Him, amen, that will glorify Him. The Word of God accomplishes these things, amen, and it's discerning. You cannot know what is true, amen, except by the Word of God. It judges our thoughts. It judges the intentions of our hearts, why we do what we do. And so we need discernment. There's a lot of Christians that don't have discernment, and usually it's because they don't have a good knowledge of the Word, or they don't have a relationship with the Lord, amen, coupled with the Word. And so we need to be able to judge, amen, between what is of God, what is not of God, what is a pure motive and what is an impure motivation. It's actually the Word that judges us. Jesus said, these words that I speak to you, amen, are spirit in their life. But he said there are going to be those who rejected him, but he said, but the words that I spoke to you will judge you in that day. So the Word of God brings judgment, amen, but it's a necessary judgment. It's a necessary division, amen, because we cannot be mixed with the world. We cannot be good and evil, amen, as some had to say, well, you just need to find the balance between good and evil. That's totally unscriptural, amen. God is good. God is holy. God is righteous. God is pure, right? And so we are not to judge the Word, as some will do. They approach it as if it's something that they can pick and choose. Like they're going to some kind of buffet and saying, you know, I kind of like that there. I don't know about that one. I'm going to avoid that one there. But, you know, the enemy studies us, and he knows that if we have rebellion in our hearts against the truth, that those are the areas where he's going to hit you. He can invade in the territory of darkness. But where the Word comes and enters in, amen, darkness has to flee. The entrance of your Word brings light, illumination. Light always overcomes darkness, amen? So the enemy wants us to continue to allow him to operate in our lives by rejecting truth, by picking and choosing what we want to receive from God. And so he studies us and he sees if a person is rebellious in a certain part of their life, amen, that he has an opportunity because he can only abide in the darkness. So we need truth. We need the light of God's Word, amen, to illuminate us so the enemy doesn't have any place to hide out and operate. And the reason why we're dysfunctional is because we're born without an understanding of or knowledge of the truth. But as we come to know the truth, Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall, all right, make you free, set you free. So truth, amen, is Christ. Amen. When Christ comes and shines into our hearts, amen, then darkness has to flee. But my responsibility, our responsibility is to cooperate with the Holy Spirit in this process called sanctification, being separated, being set apart. And the Word of God is that separator. It's that surgical instrument, amen, so that we're not going to be confused or unstable. The Bible says, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. We have to make a decision who we're going to follow. If you're going to follow Jesus, go all in. Because it's not going to work any other way. You have to surrender your life to him. Amen. It's not about just learning a few new principles so I can improve my life. God wants to transform your heart and your life. When your heart changes, your life will change. So what we're dealing with today is the spirit of Antichrist. It's so prevalent in the world. And the spirit of Antichrist seeks to mix the truth with lies. How many of you have heard of the ecumenical movement? In the United Arab Emirates today, there is already, as of just last year, 2023, an established worship center that hosts three buildings. And you can look it up online. You can Google it. A Catholic church, a mosque, and a synagogue. There's three buildings. And it's called the Abrahamic Family House. And these three major religions represent the growing interfaith movement. Now, they're also now considering bringing in a Hindu temple as well. Now, outwardly and maybe in the natural to a person that doesn't have discernment, you would say, well, isn't that a good thing? Everybody gets along. Everybody gets together, right? Aren't we, aren't we all worshiping the same God? No, actually not. And God has nothing to do with this thing, by the way. And so it may sound good, but there is a way that seems right unto a man. But in the end, it's the way of death, isn't it? And however, within this movement, and this is what we have to understand, that even according to the laws of UAE, the United Arab Emirates, Sharia law is supreme. And this is what Sharia law teaches. And this is what they're trying to push on us also here, is that Jesus, teaching that Jesus is the Son of God and the only God, is considered an insult to Allah or the Prophet Muhammad, and offenders can be subject to imprisonment for more than 5 years, and fined up to $500,000. And of course, guess who else supports this view? The United Nations. So today what we're witnessing is this formation of a one world government, this economic system, and this one world religion. And according to the word of God, eventually it is going to happen. It can be delayed if the church will do its part. Amen. But eventually, it's going to come to pass. And so they're trying right now to push this upon us, even contrary to our will. And unelected officials, amen, are trying to tell us what to do. And so today, we are certainly faced with an uncertain future in America. We're surrounded with negativity and evil reports. But, you know, whenever man tries to remove God out of the government, chaos results, right? Do we not see chaos in our government today? And the reason why is because there is no blessing where God is not. There's no blessing where God is not. There's only darkness. The devil wants people to replace faith in God with faith in man. But God wants us to know him, to love him, and to trust him. Listen to the words of Jeremiah the prophet in Jeremiah 17:5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength. Listen, whose heart departs from the Lord. How many would agree with me that good government is government that's under the authority of God? Amen. Our Constitution was based on the word of God. And therefore, it has the blessing of God upon it. And therefore, abiding by the Constitution of the United States is a good thing. But it is the godless in this nation that are ignoring the Constitution. The godless are lawless and therefore opposed to truth and mercy and justice. Do we not see a lack of justice today? King David, remember him? He was a righteous man, because he had a heart for God. However, because he loved God, he had many enemies. Just like Jesus said, if we love him, if we walk with him, amen, we're going to have enemies too. If they hated him, they're going to hate us too. But David learned through his experiences to put his trust in the Lord, who would help him through all of his trials. In Psalms 27:13, he said, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see what? The goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So people who reject the Lord or depart from the Lord are no longer under his blessing or protection. And that goes for any human government as well. And so many of our government leaders are attempting to run this country without God. Pretty clear, isn't it? Again, wherever there's a lack of God, there's chaos, there's confusion, there's darkness, there's hopelessness. And so God wants us to trust, amen, in him, as the old coin says, right? In God we trust. And but, you know, we have to be careful even as believers, because, again, the enemy studies us. And he's looking for vulnerabilities. And the vulnerabilities are those areas where we may be sympathetic towards sin. We may just turn a blind eye to it or trivialize it and say, well, it's not that big of a sin, it's not that bad. And that's what he wants, is for us to compromise so that he can move in on us. You see, we are to stay clothed in the Lord, amen, and we're not to offend or to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? And we're not to cut off the flow of God's Spirit through our lives. Amen? And sin is a compromise. Amen? And sin can open the door for the enemy, amen, to move in, even in a believer's life. And so if we are involved in a known sin, we need to repent right away. Amen? So that God will forgive us, cleanse us, and then cover us again. Amen? And even to pray, Lord, if there's sin in my life, I ask you to forgive me for that too. Sometimes we're not even aware of it. Stay covered. The Bible says we are to put off the flesh, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ like a garment. We're to be clothed in the Lord. We are to put on the full armor of God. Amen? So that we can withstand in the evil day and, amen, and oppose the enemy of our soul. I believe God wants to save America. And I believe his heart is redemptive. So God is calling his church, you and I, to stand in the gap on behalf of our nation. We need to take this seriously because we're at a crossroads. And I believe what we do possibly even this year will determine the fate of this nation. How does God deal with the nations? Well, in Jeremiah 18:7, the Lord said, "The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up, to pull down, to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it." Now, I believe that we deserve judgment in America. Amen? But God would rather that we turn to him for mercy instead. And I believe God is allowing the things that are happening for the purpose of waking up his people, the church, in this nation, to understand that we need to get right. We need to return to our God. Amen? We need to fall in love with him again. Amen? And we need to get rid of the idols. And we need to ask God to topple every idol that's in our hearts even. And anything that we put before God in our lives, amen, needs to go. We talked about a few times during prayer about the Jamestown Compact. And this is when the Puritans had come over on the boat and they established certain rules before they landed in Virginia in 1606. And these are a couple of the ideals that they had established, or the rules. Number one was to maintain a deep faith in God and his divine guidance. They made a covenant with the Lord. A mutual regard for one another as equals in the sight of God. Does that sound familiar? One nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all, right? And to establish just and equal laws upon which would be built a truly democratic form of government, the first recorded in history. So that's just kind of a summary, a breaking down of that compact and what they had committed themselves really to have America as a God-fearing, amen, Bible-believing nation. And we see that in our Constitution. Once again, it was based upon the Word of God. So it's good. Psalms 33:12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance." And we have been blessed in this nation because of our beginnings, because we were established in godly principles. Amen? And but I believe God wants his people right now to turn to him. Amen? And quit trusting in the government. All right? Because it's God who's able to turn this nation around. All right? The government, a good government should help people that are in need. Amen. We're not saying that a government shouldn't take care of people that truly have a need. But what I am saying is that you need to, first of all, look to the Lord for everything, understanding that everything that we have need of comes from him. Amen? Every provision that we have first comes from Him. God may use people or institutions, amen, but it comes from the Lord. And that's why we need to take our eyes above the government and look to the Lord, amen, from where our help comes from. God is able to turn every bitter thing to sweet. He can turn every negative into a positive, but we must return to Him with our whole heart. And we need to guard against this, any report of unbelief that says God cannot or will not save us. I believe God is speaking loudly right now, and if He has to, He'll speak louder. But I believe that we have still the grace and the opportunity right now, if we will wake up and realize that we must get back to God. We must commit ourselves, recommit our lives to the Lord. Amen? As a nation. But it begins, I believe, with the house of God. If the church will return to its God. Proverbs 4:23 says, to guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. We need to be careful what we're entertaining, what we're thinking on and dwelling on and listening to. Amen? Because we've got to take care of ourselves. Amen? How many know that you can defy yourself by listening to the wrong people? How many know that words are spiritual? And so who you listen to can affect you. Isn't that true? How many have ever been in a conversation with somebody? They may even be speaking scripture, but you felt defiled afterwards. Because we need to discern the spirit behind that. Amen? How many know the devil can quote scripture? So we need to be operating, amen, with a pure heart, amen, that has been sanctified by the Spirit and the Word of God. Amen? And that we have truly a humble and repentant attitude towards God. And then God can use us because He will give His grace to the humble, but He will resist the proud. So we need to guard our ears, our eyes, our thoughts, and our speech. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Isn't it true? I mean, we can learn from those children's songs. We have to guard ourselves. And Psalms 37:1 says, and sometimes the Lord has to bring this back to me and remind me, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass. Remember that. And wither as the green herb. Instead, this is what we do. Trust in the Lord. Do good, dwell in the land, and feed on His faithfulness. How many know the Lord will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies? How many know the Lord has a banquet for His people? How many know that there's plenty of joy in His presence? Amen? Everything you have need of, He will richly supply to you. Just come to Him. Hallelujah. Get your eyes off all the evil, all the gloom, and all the doom, and get your eyes on Him who is the answer to it all. Amen? He is the God of all hope. And we have hope because we have Him. In us. Hallelujah. So our joy and our peace is not determined by our external circumstances. Somebody say amen. Amen. But by the presence of the Lord in the inner man. God doesn't want us worried. Would you say amen to that? Amen. He doesn't want us fearful or negative or hopeless. He does, however, want us to wake up. Amen? And be in right standing with Him. That's important. That cannot be delayed. We must immediately, today, settle it. Amen? That I'm going to commit my life and my days and my future to the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to walk with Jesus. Amen? He's the good shepherd. He's the lover of my soul. He's the one that's going to take care of me. He's going to feed me. He's going to shelter me. He's going to, amen, comfort me. He's going to refresh me. Amen. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Come on. You're having a bad day? Start quoting that one. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's time for the church to come alive again. We're praying for revival. Amen. For the church in America and for us, everybody. It's time to come alive again. Hallelujah. It's God's will. Listen, it's God's will that you and I stand in the gap for this nation, for Israel, and for the lost. God can save and restore this nation. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name, what? Will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Despite how things appear, God is able to turn things around, and that's why we pray. Because we pray in faith, with hope, with an expectation that good, amen, will come if we will seek the Lord. How many know that God truly is good? Amen? And we can talk and declare the goodness of the Lord in our lives. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Where would I be without the Lord? Where would I be today? I don't want to think about it. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. How big is our God? He's exceedingly abundantly above all. And according to the power that what works in us. Do you have the Holy Spirit in you? Is Christ in you? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Hebrews 10:35, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. When you pray, you should be praying in faith, praying in a confident assurance that what I'm asking for, if it's in agreement with what God wants, he wants salvation, he wants healing, he wants deliverance, he wants restoration, amen? He wants redemption, hallelujah, that God will hear that prayer. And there is a prayer movement across this nation. People are waking up. God's people are starting to come together. They are fasting. They are praying. They're calling on God. For this nation, amen, for Israel, and for the lost, hallelujah, people need to know the Lord. I'm praying, God, that you break the stony heart. Break up the fallow ground, if you will, the clod, the hard clod of the heart that will be open and be receptive to receive the word, the truth. That can save us. He says in verse 36, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. He's talking to a persecuted church here. And many of our brothers and sisters across the world are having that right now, are in severe persecution. But he says, you stand in there. You believe God. I mean, you hold on to the Lord. You have need of endurance. So after you have done what God has called you to do, you're going to receive the promise. Hallelujah. God has promised something better for us. Amen. We are a pilgrim people. We're passing through. This is not our permanent home. Amen. Hallelujah. We're designed for heaven. We're designed for God's glory and his presence. Amen. And if you're a Christian today, if Christ is in you, you are in the presence of God. Hallelujah. And what you ought to do is you got to deal with that outer man. You got to deal with that flesh. And you need to put it to death and quit feeding it every day. Amen? Start feeding on the Word of God. Start worshiping the Lord and praying. Amen? And let God fill you with His Spirit and His power. Hallelujah. He can lift you up above all the drama, all the negativity, all the hopelessness. Amen? God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Him. Right? Stayed on thee. Hallelujah. Again, David said, God is still good even in the difficulties. I would have lost heart unless I had believed. Do we have any believers in here this morning? That I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You know what? If you don't have to look that hard every day. When you wake up in the morning, praise God, I had something to eat. Praise God, I got out of bed. Goodness of the Lord. Amen. And everything. Look for the Lord. Look for the goodness of the Lord. Amen? Because the enemy is a narcissist. He loves the attention.
Look what I'm doing. Look what I'm doing. Well, let's look at what Jesus is doing and let's do that. Let's overcome evil with good. Let's bless instead of curse. Let's believe God, amen, for a turnaround. Because I believe God can and will if His people. That's us. You see, some people have the attitude, somebody else will do it. I don't need to do it. Those people will pray. They'll do it. You know, I heard some people say, oh, just sit back and eat the popcorn and watch the show. It's all going to just turn out just wonderful. I believe that's a lie, too, of the enemy. I believe that we need to be a part of this, amen, and not a part of the problem. We need to be involved in what God is calling us to be involved with and do what He's telling us to do and pray according to His will, His heart. God wants to save. I pray for an awakening in this nation, a great awakening from coast to coast, amen, from every city, town, and hamlet, amen. I'm praying the fear of God to come upon every justice across this nation, every judge, every lawyer, every mayor, every governor, amen. The fear of God to come upon the Supreme Court, the fear of God to come upon the White House, the fear of God to come upon Congress, amen. That God, hallelujah, will wake up these who sleep, amen. And that they will return to the only one that can help them and save them and deliver them from a devil's hell. Wait on the Lord, David said. Psalms 27:14. And be of good courage. The word wait means patiently with expectation. So when we're waiting on the Lord, when we're praying, we're seeking the Lord, we have an expectation that one of these days, one of these days, in God's appointed time, what I have sown will return. Even if I don't see it in my lifetime, my labor in the Lord is never in vain. But what I sow eventually will come. Amen? If it's in agreement with God's heart, God's will. So wait on the Lord and wait patiently. Amen? And it says be of good courage. That means be strong. Do not faint. Don't give up. Don't be dismayed. Hope and trust in the Lord. Be of good courage. Wait patiently with an expectation. And as Galatians 6:9 says, we all know it, don't become weary in doing good, right? For in due season we shall reap. If we don't faint, if we don't give up, if we don't quit. All right, so let us stand fast because, you know, God called you and I to stand in the gap. We are a royal priesthood. We need to pray His kingdom to come and establish His rule and His reign. And I'm saying, Lord, establish Your rule and reign in Shelton, amen, in Mason County, in America again, hallelujah. We're praying the kingdom to come in, the glory of God to fall in this nation again, amen. And don't give up because the enemy wants to talk you out of your faith. He wants to discourage you. He wants to make it look bigger than it actually is. How many know He controls 99.9% of the media today? And so you got to be really careful about what you're feasting on in the media because it's all negative and it all looks hopeless. And isn't it interesting that just a few people can make it look like everybody thinks like they do? It's propaganda. We've got a sure word of prophecy. We know the truth. Amen. God's word will prevail. His word is forever settled in heaven. Hallelujah. What He says will come to pass. Hallelujah. And if my people, He said, will humble themselves. That means I need to take charge of myself and do what is right. Not what I feel like, but what God wants me to do. If you want God's blessing in your life, you're going to have to deny yourself first and take up your cross and follow Him. And I found that there's joy when we learn to love the cross. Hallelujah. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. I don't need the cheap stuff of this world. I don't need to get stoned. I don't need to get drunk. Amen. I don't need the garbage. Amen. Because now we're feasting at the table of the Lord. We're drinking from the springs of living water. Happy now am I. My soul they satisfy. Drinking from the springs of living water. Guys, listen, you got to take the full plunge. Quit a lot of folks are just eating at the sample plate. Amen. Yeah, it's kind of good. I kind of like that. And then they're over there eating on the junk food, you know. No, God has set a banquet before us. And he said, eat. Amen? He's given us drink. Amen? And he says, drink. Amen? Well, Lord, you save the best to last. We need to be filling up, amen, on him. Because he will satisfy you. He will give you joy. Even in the midst of all the gloom and the doom, we should be the most joyful people. We should be the most optimistic people because we have hope. Because God is with us and God is for us. I believe that. I actually believe God is with me. And that God is for me. He's not against me. I believe that God so loved me that he gave Jesus to die for me. And he wants me to be his own. He wants me to understand and know him and walk with him, have fellowship with him, do life together with him, because there is no life without him. Oh, we're animated. But we need his life. We need the abundant life. We need the superior life that is life in the Holy Spirit. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Come on, let's sing it. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. And again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. And again I say rejoice. You see, it's a choice to rejoice. And when you align yourself with what God wants you to do, you'll find that his grace will come upon you and it will be your reality. It is your reality, man. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. So be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God. Be clothed in the Lord. Amen. Father, we thank you today. You've given us this day. You're God of gods, God over all. And so in you, Lord, we live and move and have our being. Lord, we have hope in you. And we thank you that you're with us, Lord. We thank you that you're for us as your people. Lord, we want to live right before you. We want to honor you by the way we live our lives. Lord, as David prayed years ago, search me, Lord. Try me. And Lord, if there's any wicked way in me, remove it from me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me in your paths of righteousness, Lord, for your name's sake. Lord, we acknowledge today that we need your grace. We need your help. We need your strength to overcome in this world. We can't do it without you. So, Lord Jesus, we're looking to you today. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands to him right now. Oh, Jesus. Ah, we love you, Lord. God wants you to surrender. Would you do it today? Just surrender to him today. Say, Lord, I surrender all to you. I give you my mind, my body, my spirit, all of me, Lord. And Lord, I ask you to cleanse me. Wash me in your blood. And I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. And help me, Lord, to walk in your truth, to walk in your ways every day, in Jesus' name. Amen.